So as we've said, we've almost finished Sefer Shmuel. We got to the end of Sefer Shmuel, but we skipped two parts of it that really are more Tehillim, that are just quoted in Sefer Shmuel, which is Perachah Bet, and the first seven psukim of Perachah Gimel, which is described as Divrei David HaAchronim. Let go back now. This is, I'm going to look at Perachah Bet in Shmuel, which actually pretty much is the same as Perak Yud Chet in Tehillim. It is a Perak of Tehillim. One from Shmuel, the version from Shmuel. There are a lot of subtle differences. The version from Shmuel is the Haftorah for Seventh Day Pesach. It's the Haftorah for Parshat Hazinu. It's Shirat David. It may be familiar.
Okay,
We're
I
going to
know.
look at, and we're going to look at it. And when I quote it over here, like in source one, the version that's in Tehillim is going to be in green. The version that's in Shmuel is going to be in red.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, so basically the words of Lanot Seach
Is
Le'Eved
this
Hashem
going to be
L'David.
one text in different colors?
I'm sorry?
Is this going to be two separate texts or one text that has red and green in it?
You see the shared the screen?
Yeah.
So you see it on the colors over here?
Yeah.
So that's green, that's red. So it's, you know, it's got Tehillim, the green has an introduction, has a quoted title, like most Tehillim do, Lanot Seach Le'Eved Hashem L'David.
Okay.
And then it goes into Asher Diber, as opposed to in Shmuel, which goes into the kind of the past tense, the narrative sense of Vayidaber David. I think it was, you know, Asher Diber LaHashem, Dibrei HaShira Yom Yitzil HaShem Oto, Miyad Kaf Kol Oivav, Umi Kaf, Umiyad Sha'ul. Right. This is where, this is the song that David sang when he was, on the day that he was saved from all of his enemies and from Sha'ul. Hi, Ruthie.
So green is David and red is Shmuel,
Well, green is Tehillim.
though. Oh yeah, green is
Green
Tehillim
is Tehillim. Red
and red
is
is
the version
Shmuel.
of Shmuel. They're pretty much the same. Going from Miyad, from the hand of, Mikaf, from the palm of. Not really different. I'm not going to get into the differences at all. You can see those differences.
Okay, yeah, I see. It's pretty close.
Okay. So again, this is not something he said once. It's when he was saved from all of his enemies from Sha'ol. This was David's personal anthem, the way that Barbanel puts it. That most of the commentators say about this, that David, that this was written after David had been saved from all the enemies, the end of his life. He composed this song. As this toward general thanks to God for being saved from everything. Therefore, it's here at the end of Sefer Shmuel. After all the wars and the consequences of those. But I would say that David actually wrote this when in his youth. When he was still running away in troubles, running away from Sha'ul, and it was written to be a general way of thanking God for everything that happened. This wasn't written once. This was written over and over again. He said this over and over a time. This was a lifelong work in progress. That every time Shakash Baruch Hu Matzilo, whatever God would save him, he called Sarah from whatever trouble he was in. Hayim Sharer Shirazot, he would recite this Shira. This was Shirat David. By Tem Kane, Sugabafiv, and therefore it was, he basically had it memorized. He knew it fluently. Kedela Dotlashem, Kol Shua, Shosaimo, Lafli. This is what he did whenever, anytime God saved him, he would sing this song. I'm assuming he would write it, rewrite it many times. So we've got two versions. It doesn't mean anything to say which one's the real one. They're both real. And the version of Tehillim starts with this, Lamaseh Hu Eved Hashem David, described to me uniquely as Eved Hashem. Because the parak really isn't about victory over enemies. It's about his victory over himself, his dedication to being an Eved Hashem, to Avodat Hashem. And we look at the parak, it starts out saying that he would say this after every time he would be saved, after every victory. But there are two kinds of victories. Kaf kol oivav, from the hands of his enemies, umiyad sha'ul, from the hand of sha'ul. Sha'ul wasn't really his enemy. He didn't consider Sha'ul his enemy. Even while Shaul was trying to kill him. The Gemara says about this. that even just singing about Scholl's death, it wasn't a victory when Scholl died. It was a loss. And it was a mistake to even sing this song. The Gemara puts it. David. Shem says David. David, Shira Tomer, Amapotel Shel Shaul. You're singing the Shira here about the fall of Saul. Imali Atasha Ovhu David. If the positions were switched around and you were Shaul, he was the David. Ivadati Kama David Mefanat. I would have destroyed multiple Davids. I would have destroyed you multiple times. He was a tzaddik. This was a tragedy what happened to Shaul. Negative, and which is why we have another parak of Tehillim, which calls Shigayon le David, a song about the mistakes of David. Asher shara l'Hashem, that he sang to God, Adirei Kush ben Yimini, to the son of Kush, the son of Yimini, which is a term for Shaul, who was from Binyamin. So he admitted he made a mistake. This he's not supposed to be singing about it. And the way, this is from the Mishpatot Zahav, I quoted before, it says, Zachina b'hai inyana. And I saw, I was zoche, I married to see a manuscript. Kama shirot midibre chazonish. So it's a quote of chazonish about this idea. Ish rasham al gilyon gemara shalom. That he wrote into his gemara, on the side, when he's seeing the chazonish gemara here, we're taking notes on this gemara in Moed Katan about how David shouldn't have sung about Shaul's death. And the chazonish wrote there. It says on this quote about that Amar Kosh Baruch David Shira Tomer etc. Vaday had David Mr. Era Motor Shel Shaul. David certainly was in agony, was in pain about Shaul's death. Muvar Bakatuv, as the pasuk says, David composed this elegy as soon as he heard about it, about Shaul's death. Aliyah Savur Shachayev Gamlo Marshira. He thought that I still have to thank Hashem that my life has been saved. I still have to sing this shira here. Because now I don't have to worry about him trying to kill me. Yes, it's a tragedy, but there's still an aspect that I'm saved now. But the Amrin quotes Gemara and Bracha, which I didn't know about, but I didn't remember it. Meta viv hu yashav. Someone, his father passes away, but that person inherits. So he's gotten some benefit out of this. But Chil Omer Baruch Adai Amet. Still says Baruch Adai Amet, this is a tragedy. Lasof Hu Omer Baruch Atov Metiv. Still say Baruch on achieving, getting something from there. There's still inquiries. You can thank Hashem for whatever good you can get. Now David said, that's why I'm seeing a Shira on Shaul. Akash Baruch Amul Sheshega Bazeh. Hashem tells him, no, that's a mistake. The Hacha Ein Larev Shum Simcha Mishum Godotzar. The Shaul's death, there is no good side. Shaul's death is not going to result in your peace and your tranquility. It's going to result in a civil war. It's going to break it down. Instead of you being the next king, you're going to have to take that, and that you're not going to get to build your Beit HaMikdash. This is not a thing to sing Shira about. That over there, you're going to say, thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to inherit, because that's not guaranteed. It's not inherently part of the losing a parent. Here, singing the fact that you're singing on Shaul's death. Lakash Baruch Hu, El Malay, if only Hashem tells him, look, if the positions were reversed, you would have been lost and Shaul would have been the next king. Enkan Simcha Lefanai, there's no joy in front of me. El Gezerah Lefanai. This was the decree, this was going to happen, but still, this is a tragedy. And the idea that he couldn't sing about Shaul's death is something that David, we see, composed the Perek Tehillim that we looked at called the Shigayon, that I made a mistake. And right this year. And that his son, Shlomo, would learn when in Mishlei when it says, "In po aybecha al tisma," when enemies fall, don't rejoice. Shlo al yigel aybecha, and when your enemies stumble, don't rejoice. It's not something to not something to celebrate. But David is celebrating. Hashem saves him. And that's what this song is about.
So Danny, is that a lesson for us?
Yes, this is in Pirkei, it quotes in Pirkei Avot.
But I'm just saying, like, let's say, you know, like Syria is our enemy. And if they fall apart, we shouldn't be happy, basically.
You can thank Hashem for being saved, but not, it's not something you sing Shira about.
Okay.
And that level of joy there. I mean, we saw what happened when Syria falls apart. You end up with millions of refugees, millions being killed, and everything's destabilized. It doesn't end up being good.
Okay.
Okay. And besides Shaul, as this one person who is kind of not part of Oybot, not really an enemy, there's one other person, core of enemy of that category, which was David's son Avshalom. I'm going to look at that a little bit more. David never sings about Avshalom's death, even though his kingdom was saved, because he felt that Avshalom was a victim.
Does he sing about that, or he doesn't?
He does not.
Okay.
This guy, there's a rebellion. Avshalom is trying to kill him, and when he tells the army, "Don't let up, do not harm Avshalom," and when Yoav does, Yoav gets fired. You know the story. It's the end of Perak Yud-Kaf, Yud-Tet, and Shmobet. And we'll look at that a little bit. So here's the actual Shira. Vayomer. Arachemcha Hashem Chizki, I love you, God, who's my strength. Hashem Saliu Mitzvati, God, you are my rock, my fortress, Mofalti, and my refuge. Kelid Suri Achasapo, my God, my rock, who I have faith in. Magini, my shield, Keren Yishi, literally the horn of my salvation. Misgabi, my peak. Mahalel, Mahalel Akra Hashem, out of praise, I will call to God. And I will be saved from my enemies. So the Midrash knows that basically just use repeating the same words over again. Salim, Shadidim, Falti, all these synonyms for being saved, for being a refuge. It says each one of these represents a different Oyed that David was saved from. And this Midrash Tehillim on this, Rabbanan Amri, Klape Shenaflu Nei David Asara Sonim, that David basically faced 10 battles in his life, as described in Sefer Shmuel. There was Shaul, Doeg Emoni, Ed Edomi, who was one who destroyed the city of Nov, Achitophel, was Bathsheba's grandfather, who led the rebellion, led Avshalom's rebellion, Sheva ben Bichri, who led the rebellion after Avshalom. He was from Binyamin, who tried to split the kingdom. Shimi ben Gera is a cousin of Shaul's, who cursed David as he was running away. Shovach, who's the general of the army of Aram in the great battles in the north.
Oh, yeah.
Another battle of Goliath. Shosha Achav and three of the other Plishti heroes who fought him, described in the end of Sefer Shemuel. Ten total, Chamisham Yisrael, five of them are Jewish, Shaul, Dog, Achitophel, Shev, Bichri, Shmagera, Kamishami, Umata, Akum, and five foreign enemies. Hegdan, Amar, David, Asara, Mine, Klusin, and those correspond to the 10 praises that he mentions here, which he says, Chizki, Salim, Mitzudi, Mepalti, Elokai, Tzuri, Yachapov, Magini, Kangrishi, Miskabi, Munisi, 10 of them. And he said, Chazal himself didn't see Avshalom as David's enemy. He's not on this list at all. And I know, so Jan, you listened to Rabbi Shulman's shir on Shmuel, right?
Yeah.
So he talked about the fact that Avshalom didn't, at least the way it's presented in Sefer, didn't really directly rebel against David. He wanted to take over after David, not to overthrow him. And it was Achitophel who kind of manipulated Avshalom into this outright rebellion, to claiming power when David was still king, and created the actual war. So the enemy in that battle was not Avshalom, it was Achitophel. And so the next section goes on from there and describes how David responds to adversity. He prays. And Hashem answers and says, he's Vayishma Mehechalo Kolo. Hashem listened from his Hechal, which in David's time doesn't mean the Beit Midrash is not built yet. It's Hashem's coming down from heaven, rescuing David. And he continues, Afafuni chevle mavet, that the bonds of death enveloped me. Nachalei b'lial yivatuni, literally the streams of chaos were going to swallow me up. Chevle she'ol savuni, the chains of death surrounded me. He's referring himself to being in deep trouble. Kadmuni mokshe mavet, the traps of death were before me. V'tzar li akra Hashem. In my distress, I called to God. And I prayed to God. And Hashem heard from his abode, and my prayer came before his ears. I prayed, Hashem, listen. And then he describes Hashem's response. That's interesting. It goes on for a bit. Unfortunately, this parak is 56 psukim long. We can't go through every single word. So summarize. Hashem roared, the earth trembled, the foundations of the mountains trembled, and they shook because Hashem was angry. The smoke came out of his nose, consuming fire from his mouth. Coals were burning before him. Hashem comes down from heaven, descends, with darkness surrounding his legs. Two anthropomorphic for me. And God rides on the kruvim by elf and flies. And came down on the wings of the wind. Hashem placed the darkness as his hiding place, shelter that surrounded him. Hashem's in darkness. The darkness of the water and the clouds, minoga negdo, and the light came from him. Avru baradgach laish, and the clouds cast forth hail and gachalim and coals. Berum b'shamayim Hashem thundered from the heavens. Yon nitan kolon, the high places made noise. Barad v'gach laish, and the hail and coals coming from the heaven. By Shachit Tzav, Hashem sent forth his arrows and wounded them. Rakim Rav Yomem, and sent the lightning and confounded them. By Yiru Afikemayim, the streams of water appeared. The Gilu Mosdei Tevel, the foundations of the earth were revealed. Migaratcha Hashem, from your fury, God, Yishmat Ruach Apecha, and from the breath of your nostrils. Dramatic description of Hashem just appearing in the storm, the clouds, the earth shaking, hail, fire and brimstone from heaven. What makes it interesting is that's wrong. That's not how Hashem appears in David's battle. There are great miracles here, right? That's not anything. All of David's victories were perfectly human ones. Maybe even a miracle, but it was a nes nistar. It wasn't perfectly ordinary battles. There wasn't fire from heaven. There weren't great earthquakes. No God flying down on the crew of him. And really, this is much more description of the Tziat Mitzrayim. Maman Har Sinai.
I was thinking of the hail with the fire.
Right. That's got to be Barad. That's the Tziat Mitzrayim, right? The fact the streams of water appeared and revealed the foundation of the earth. That's Kriyat Yamsuf. Right, Hashem coming down, the mountains shaking, the darkness, the lightning, the thunder, and all that. That's Maman Har Sinai. That's what this the kind of image is, and that's the way the Mechilta looks at this, saying that this is a description of specifically the beginning of Maman Har Sinai. Hashem coming down on Har Sinai, giving the Torah. And this is what Mechilta says, looking at Psukim in Shemot about how Maman Har Sinai happened, and says, Hareshnik tuvim machrim zed zed. Two Psukim that seem to contradict each other. Two Echad Omer, one Pasuk says, Vayera Hashem Har Sinai. Hashem comes down on Har Sinai. Two Echad Omer, Temri Temkim min Hashemayim dibartim v'acher. The next parakeet says that Hashem spoke from the heaven. Where did Hashem appear? What was the experience of Maman Har Sinai? Says, Hashem brought heaven and earth together at that moment. Both. It was from the heavens and it was right at there, close there to them. And that's what our pasuk says, Hashem pulls down the heavens and came down. That was the darkness. This is the description of Maman Har Sinai. So it's not a description of how David Hashem saved David. Description of why Hashem saved David. David says, first, Hashem appears in the world 1,000 years ago. Amar Hasinai, and we had to make a choice. And this is where the Kli Akar describes our pasuk. Kadu vaze medaber b'matan Torah. This pasuk is talking about Matan Torah. Umeni kach raya. So I would take that as evidence. Al kol shar k'tuvim habayim ke'echad, that the entire section shemedabrim yachdav Matan Torah. It's all talking about Matan Torah. It's not talking about Hashem. David is not describing how Hashem saved. David is talking about how Hashem gave us. And it's related to Shirat David here. Kfiya Perusha Zakharti, say the way I explain this. The pasuk when it says Kiyafuni Chavle Shaol Safuni, when I was surrounded by the bonds of death. Shakavanish in Oyev Koiva Nefesh, that the enemy here is really a spiritual one. It's internal. And that's why it says that when I was in pain, I called out to Hashem. Elav Sheyu Elokai. I'm asking God to be my God. That was my prayer. Because I regret my sins, all the things I had done. Because the points when I sinned and I pushed God away, I didn't acknowledge him. When Hashem wasn't my God, that's when I got in trouble. So I'm asking him back. And so I am doing tshuva in my distress. Ekra Hashem ve'elokai ekra. That's what he says. I call back to my God specifically. But Salamar meaning ekra sheyachzor li to elokai v'kabel ol mitzvotav. I'm going to go to accept the mitzvah. I'm going to go back to Ma'amar Sinai and accept Hashem's Torah again. So that's what it means by Yishma Hashem. Listen, shekmo shebe'et ma'an Torah. So just like at the time ma'an Torah. And Hashem was angry, the earth trembled, but Shalom ratu amot l'kabel Torah. Hashem offered the Torah, you know, the Medrash offered Torah to the whole world, and they refused. Because that's not the point. It's not supposed to go just to the Jews. Everybody should be accepting my Torah. And that's the fury that's been described. Ayom chozer l'tovavohu, and Hashem threatened to return the world to null and void, to chaos. Moshteh Shamayim, Shema Torah, Vavoda, and these foundations of Shamayim of heaven, which was the Torah, Vavoda Yugzu, Vaikashu, and they all trembled, Yanki Achara, Lo Acharish Baruch Hu, and that because Hashem was fierce at that moment, Shalom Ratzu Amot, Kabel Torah. The nations didn't accept the Torah. That's this image here. Hashem is appearing in all these miracles, offering us the Torah, and we accept it or not. When David fights his battles, he's not looking at the enemy in front of him. At least that's the way of describing it here. He's facing a battle. If he's facing the enemies now, Hashem's telling him, you've done something wrong. You need to go back and look at your own spiritual state. Which is why he said this description ends with this barad gachla eish, the hail and the fire coming down, because that's exactly what the Malka Barad was all about. That's the classic example of someone being given a choice. My part has shown all these miracles. My part has said, look, what comes next is this Makat Barad. You can choose. Let the people go. Believe that God is going to punish you or not. This is the way Makat Barad is played. In Shemot. Here Moshe and Moshe. Hashkema Boker. Hashem tells Moshe, you need to get up in the morning. He says, say with a paro, stand in front of paro. Or Matelot, you'll tell him. Thus saith the Lord, Shlach at the Mevi Aduni, let my people go and they'll serve me. Yipam Azot, was this time, and this is the seventh Makkah, and Yishalech HaKol Magei Fotai, I am sending forth all of my plagues, Eli Becha, again, to your heart, Uva'edecha, your people, Va'amecha, Va'avorte Dasa, you should know, Ki Ein Kamoni B'chol Aretz. Makkah Barad is the peak of, is the climax of all the Makkot, directed at Paro. And I'm going to send this terrible hail, that there's never been something, a hailstorm so bad since the moment Mitzrayim was founded. Now you, this is the choice. It's really simple. You can send your cattle, the kol shelecha basdeh, anything you've got out the field, Anyone who's still outside, Yosef Habayit is not brought inside, they will die in the hell. Anyone who fears God from among the Egyptians, he said that Abadav, Mikmael, Abatim evacuated his servants, his cattle, into the houses. They went inside. Asher lo sam libo d'var Hashem, and those who just didn't care, they didn't take it seriously. V'yazoves Abadav, Mikmael, and they left their servants, their cattle outside. Basadeh, those were destroyed. And Barad was a choice.
So this is all taking place during Mitzrayim.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what the Barad was. Right? And we have this idea by Chazek Hashem Le Paro, but that was after this. Here Paro has this choice, and that's what the Raya says. That this is fulfills all of my plagues. Hamazot Ratzal Amar, meaning now, I'm telling you now, you gotta decide. Everything else before this was commentary. That's proving my power. Now you have to choose. And now, if you're not, you deciding you're not going to send them. That this is your last chance. That's the, this is the only time it says now. I'm telling you to send my children out. And you refuse to. Now, everything from here is inevitable. We're going to end up in Makkah B'chorot. It wasn't immediately. There were still three Makkot after this. But Barad was the one who gave a choice. But after Paro chooses, he loses free will. That's the point where we have Bechazek Lev Paro, Shalak Ben Yisrael. He just becomes a passive observer. And then, at the end of that, they leave Egypt, and they come to Yamsuf, and Paro's chasing after them. And that's still a state of Chazek Hashem Le Paro. Paro's have free will at that point. But then Hashem gives the Paro his choice back at the edge of the Yamsuf. As David said, that the streams of water, they saw the streams of water by Galum Mosto Tevel, the foundation of the earth appeared, the water split, and Paro has to decide, is he going to chase after them or not? Paro can decide, and again, he chooses poorly.
Saying he actually had a real choice.
Right. At that moment. Right? They see the miracle. What do you do with a miracle? You ignore it?
No, but I just heard one time that until God says in the Torah that God hardens Pharaoh's heart, that he, before that he did have a choices, but he chose unwisely.
Yes,
but
that's what I'm saying.
At a certain point, I don't know, what was it, the sixth Makkah or the seventh Makkah?
It was right after Barah. That's where it switches. So in Arba, it's
exactly the Barah. You know, if you keep doing a certain behavior over and over, the longer you persist in that behavior, at some point you no longer have free will. It's just like then it become ingrained in you.
That's true. That's so, true. Here it's more than just psychological. We're saying it's a punishment.
What?
Here we're saying it's more than just psychological. It's saying this actually is a punishment. God intentionally did that. Okay, that's it. You are no longer a human being. You no longer have free will. That's the end. Now you're just a non-player character, as they say in the gaming world. Just run by the program.
But I'm saying, like, you know, Chazal was sort of saying, like, part of a human being is, you know, if you have a poor behavior and you could change it up to a certain point, but the longer you persist, changing it becomes harder and harder.
Yes, that is certainly true.
So that's
in general, right. In general, they still have that. Normally you would still have that. But again, he still has that. I think he still has that choice again at Yamsu, where he says, and I'm going to quote this pasuk here because it's come up, Amar Ayev, the enemy said, Erdof asig echlek shalom. Paro says, I'm going to chase after them. I'll overcome them. I'll take the loot. Mlemon afshi, I will fill myself with them. Arich arbi, I unsheathe my sword. Tereshim adi, my hand will wipe them out. That's Paro declaring that at that last moment, where he could have still turned around and saved himself. So that's the description before. Up till now, Dov is not saying how he was saved, he's saying this, I'm now thinking about this and the implication of that. So Dov says now in the Perek, or now Pasuk of Zion, that when he saw God's power, he is saved because he does tshuva, his tefillah is accepted. So now it's going personally, as opposed to God appearing in nature and the thunder and the lightning, the hail, the earthquakes. This is by Yishlach Mimarom Yachene. God sent from the heavens and took me. Yimashen Mimayim Rabim pulled me out, by reference to Moshe, from the great waters. Yetzlenu Me'oy Ve'az. He saved me from my powerful enemies. Misan Asanai Ki Amtu Mimeni. From my enemies, even though they were, because they were too strong for me. Yakdamuni Biyom Edi. He brought me forward in the days of my trouble. Hashem, and Hashem supported me. Yotzieni lemerchav, and he brought me out from the tsar, which literally means the narrow, from the narrow place to merchav, to the wide open spaces. I'm relaxed. Yatzileni kichavetzbi, God saved me because he loved me. Yagmileni Hashem kitzidkati. This is the key point, that Hashem saved me because of my righteousness. Gabor yadi yashivli, the cleanliness of my hands. I was paid back, right? I've got borit, I've got soap on my hands, I wash my hands, I am better. Because I kept God's ways, Barashati Melakai was not evil in God's before God. Across all of God's laws are in front of me. I'm learning. Laws are many, and I never let go of his commandments. And I was perfect. Pure. God, and I guarded myself from my sins. I was aware of them. I acknowledged my sins, but God paid me according to my righteousness. God saw literally the cleanliness of my hands. And the Ramchal takes this parak as the exemplar of nikiyut, literal cleanliness. That if you read the Mesilat Sharim, is a series of steps toward righteousness. Starts with the zihirut of being aware, being mindful, zirizut of being careful what you do. Next step is nikiyut cleanliness, being spiritual cleanliness, being acknowledging what was done wrong and then trying to do better. The idea of tshuva. This is Mesilat Sharim. Midat nikiyut, the idea of cleanliness. He yot Adam nakil gamri mikol midah ra'a mikol chet. Cleanse yourself from evil characteristics, bad character flaws. Masha David, that's Mobitov to Barav, and that's what David says. Hashem saved me according to my righteousness as the cleanliness of my hands, purity of my hands. I have to wash my hands in a spiritual sense. Marod, Yashem Hashem Tziki, Kitziki, Hashem saved, which paid me back for my righteousness. For Yadi, the Neged Einav, as Nikayon, before his eyes. Bar Mikayon, who's a Zachar. This is what the bore in the sense of washing of soap and the cleanness that we talked about, spiritual sense. Az Chazar Amar, so the Pasuk later on is going to say, Ibiyancha Arutz Gedud, and therefore I can run before the, I say Gedud.
It's the army thing.
Yeah, right. That was a good word. What's a good word? A battalion. I don't know. I run before the army. I can chase my enemies and overcome them. I can win my battles because of the Oriya, the cleanliness in my hands. It doesn't mean that David was sinless. He certainly committed a share of a row. We've seen that throughout Shmuel, but he did tshuva. That's the idea. Cleaned himself. And it's more than just being saved. Ramchal points out that David actually...
Then he calls himself a tzaddik.
Right. Well, he's paid back according to his righteousness. Right? That you, and that's what tshuva does. It does allow yourself to do that.
Okay.
Tshuva me'ava turns...
Like if you do tshuva, that makes you a tzaddik. I never thought of it like that.
Well, the idea that tshuva me'ava turns zedona into zechuyot. Right? Sins become, and the idea of trumei av is something that it means that what happened in the past is probably what created who you are today.
Okay.
You're a better person. That's probably it. Yes, you can't avoid being the payment for what happened. But moving forward, you can be a better person. And that's enough to be called a tzaddik.
Wow. Okay.
And so that he reached the point, and Ramchal quotes the famous Mishnah Mishnei Charaba that there were four kings who prayed to God. David, Asi, Yehoshaphat, and Chizkiah. David says, I want to chase my enemies, and Shem says, you can do that. Asa said later on, two generations later, I don't have the strength to fight. I'll chase, and you do a miracle and make it happen. And Yirmiyahu says that's what happened. Right? Fame Asa, and then Asa chases enemies, and then they nishbaru lifnei Hashem lifnei machaneh, and they were broken before God and God's forces. Amad Yehoshaphat, two generations after that, and said, Ani ein bi koach larog lulirdo. I can't fight, I can't chase. Ani omer shira batosa. I'll just sing shira when you save me. And we have a description, Dibra Yamim, that's exactly what happened. That ba'et hechilu b'rina tihila, Yehoshaphat started praising God, and the enemy dispersed. They went. This idea of yiridat hadorot, that we merit less and less miracles. Amar chizkiyah v'amar, Ani ein bi koach lo larog lo redof lo mashira. I can't fight. I can't even chase. I can't even say shira. I don't know how to do that. Ani yashen amitati. I'm gonna sleep. Atosa. God, you save me. And that's what happened with Sancheret. Vayiba laila vayitzei malach Hashem vayachu machane Yeshua. Save me. And even though it sounds like there's a greater and greater miracle in all these stages, David's got to fight and win. God for him, Chizkiyahu does nothing, and a malach comes and does all the fighting. Actually, the reverse is true. The greatest miracle is by David. He actually participated in his fight. And that's what the Mishnah Shem says. Amruz Yechrom Levachach, Chazal said, She David haya nizhar umnakeatzmo nikiyon gamor. David did true tshuva, Nikola, from all of his sins. Val ken haya holech lemilchama bitachon chazak. And that's why he could go out and fight. And have faith that he would win. Shoel, Adolf, Vaivas, again, let me chase my enemies, I will overcome them. Lo ashov ad kol tam, and I won't return until I destroy them. Mashlo shalu Yehoshaphat asa v'chizkiyahu. These other ones couldn't do that. Pishalo hayo menukim kol kach. They didn't reach that state of purity. That's the lesson. You see the Ma'an Torah, accept that, and then you can go on. The bear continues. Interesting. Perhaps you can.
I'm talking about David. He didn't really want to be a soldier, but he was forced into it. I mean, he did it because of his responsibility.
Right. I mean, certainly the impression you get is that, right, he'd much rather be the kid with a lute.
Exactly. He would rather be a poet.
Yeah. And so the parak continues, though, with this more general statement of im chasid kit chasad. And literally with the merciful, you are merciful. Im gibor tamim tetamam. And someone who is pure, you act purely. That's the way JPS translates it. Im navar tadabar, and one who is clean, you act cleanly. Im ikesh tidpalal, but with the perverse, it's translated wily. You are literally will be perverse. Dor ikesh tidpalal. But that seems wrong. Like God shouldn't be acting perversely with anyone, even those who are in fact themselves ikesh. But I would translate that because these are all in the Hitpael, the acting on oneself. That means more they appear, right? That if you are im chasid chasad, if you are a chasid, then Hashem appears to be a chasid. And tamim, if you're tamim, then Hashem is tamar, appears to be that way. See God's action that way. But in ikesh tidpalal, with the perverse, you seem to be crooked. That you get the chance to interpret Hashem's action in the world how you want. And that basically, you have to decide your own fate. We say that in Shabbat Shira, and now rather Shabbat Shuvah, in the Haftorah, Michacham v'yuhen Eila, whoever is wise will understand this, Davon v'yuhen Eim, if you understand, then you'll know this, Ki yesharim darchei Hashem, the ways of Hashem are straight, Tzadikim yalchubam, the righteous can walk in the ways of Hashem, the poshim yikashluvah, the sinners will stumble over those same straight ways of Hashem. It's like a sidewalk. You can walk alongside with, that's fine. Go perpendicular to it, you're going to trip over the curb. Tshuva means just turning your direction. Now you're going on there. You can do that. That's what David's saying. And it continues, Ki ata am ani toshiya, because you'll save the nation. This poor nation, Baniyim Ramot Tashpil, Beinayim Ramot Tashpil, and those who are haughty, literally have raised eyes, you will bring low. Ki ata te'er neiri, because you light my candle, Hashem Lakai, Yegiya Chashki, you inspire my darkness. You will save me. Yibacha Arutz Gedud, said, because through you, I can run before the army. I can lead them. Lokai Adalek Shor, with my God, I can leap over a mountain. I'll leap over a wall, rather. Now, we said before, David doesn't want to fight. And we talked about when he conquers Yerushalayim. That's what this Velokai Adalek Shor, he leapt over the wall. What does that mean? Remember the story of David conquering Yerushalayim?
Who was in Jerusalem then? The
Jebusites. Jebusites, right. And he can't conquer them, and so he sends Yoav to go sneak up through Warren's shaft, through the Tzinor.
Oh, right, through the tunnel.
Idols. And then after that, he owns the city. There's no battle, is what's striking about that. Everywhere else in Shmuel, he described these huge battles, how many people, where it was. There's no battle of Yerushalayim. And that's the way the Medrash puts it. Yivacha Arutz Gedud. Like, I was at the head of the army through you. David went to do battle with the Yivusi who were living in Yerushalayim. Yechil Omar, first thing he says, Makei Yivusi V'yagia B'tzinor, as we said, he said, anyone who can get go up the Tzinor, literally the water pipe, and attack the UC. That was the words in Tev Shmuel. And Debra Yamin puts it as, and whoever can do this will be my leader of my army. Yoav does this. He doesn't conquer the city. He just knocks over the, what's called the lame and the blind. Kirish V'Iver, really the idols there. Masa Yoav, maybe Barusha Chad Ranan, that he took a green cypress tree, Bakabat Sarachama, tied it to the wall, Kaf Kaf at Rosha Barusha Rach, and he pulls down the cypress. He's going to use that to climb over the wall to sneak in. Al Rosho Shel David, and he went over David's head, and it's La Al Barush, the Lagal Choma, and then he jumps over the wall. That's what he's describing Yoav's battle. Amar David, and David, seeing Yoav doing this, says, Yalmeni tzadik chesed yachkeni, that, I have to translate this here. Let the righteous man strike in loyalty, let him reprove me. And yachkeni, that I am being shown up by Yoav here, because he's going to enter Yerushalayim, and I'm not going to do that. That's just wrong. I want to go into Yerushalayim. Masa kosh baruch hu, what did Hashem do? Kitzer tochama. Hashem did a miracle and the wall became shorter. Allah David Acharav, and David just waltzed into the city of Yerushalayim. And that's what Elokai and Lake Shore means in our passage.
Didn't somebody have to, didn't Yoav send for him?
Well, I think what actually happened, sorry.
Because he wasn't there for most of it.
No, you're thinking of the battle with Rabat Ammon. The story of Bathsheba.
Yeah.
Right, that's not, no. David was there at the Battle of Yerushalayim. So Yoav sneaks in there, and then after that, David just walks into the city. Metaphorically, he just walks over the wall. Because what actually happened is that there was no battle. The Yebusi surrendered. David became king of...
By the time he gets there, it was over.
Right, there was no battle. They said, fine, city's yours. And actually, The king of the Yebusi is Arnon, who ends up selling the area of the Beit HaMikdash to David. He's loyal to David. This is the way the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar put it. David told his people, Kol Mishael Birshana Yasir Tzolamim, anyone go in there and take away the idols and destroy the Yelir Rosh will be the one, will be the leader of my army. So Yoav was the one who did that. That's why Yoav was the general. And then afterwards, David negotiates and actually buys the city from the Yusim, Mechar Zahav, for a price of gold, Ugatav, Olam, Luchamzat Olam, as an eternal purchase. Ma'asa, what did he do? Lakach Mikol Shevet Hamishim Shkalim, he collected from all the different tribes 50 Shkalim, Hare Kulam Sheshmeo Shkalim, and we looked at that number 600 when we looked at the end of Shmuel. 600 Shkalim, Shnemar, Leitin, Ledavid Arnon, Lanon, David gives to Arnon, who's the king of the Yebusi. So that is his greatest battle. As Sun Tzu says, the greatest victory is that requires no battle. That was the true nature of a battle, his victory. And that ends part one of the parable. So it says, Hashem, you saved me, you let me lead my army and then just walk over the wall. That's great. Part two is going to be looking at David as the king. And it starts with his philosophy with Tzvot. God, your ways are pure. Imrat Hashem Shufa, the words of God purify. Magen Hula Kol Sivbo, he's a shield to all who have faith in him. Mikel Eloka Milda Hashem, because there is no God, no power besides God. Mitzur Zulatei Elokeinu, and there's no rock like our God. And the Midrash Shulchan Aruch says on this, Akel Tamim Darko. God's ways are pure. Marav, Lanatanakash Baruch Mitzvot Yisrael Elikadei Letzarifot. I'm expressing that the purpose of the mitzvot is to purify us, make us better people. Shemar Imrat Hashem Tshufa. It says words of God purify. Kimia Echpat LaKash Baruch Hu Shochet Minak Kaneva Ochel O Minazana. Because really, God doesn't really care whether we check their animals from the neck or from the back. That doesn't matter to Hashem. It's for our sake that we have these mitzvot. And the act of obedience. He's getting this act of obedience. That's why he's called Eved Hashem, the way it starts out. That's what's purifying. And so that, because of that, he's submissive to God. He's Eved Hashem. He becomes the ruler of people. Not just Bnei Israel, but of all the other nations around him. So this tone of the second half is not about, I'm surrounded by death. I was a verge of being destroyed, the family of Shaul Sivavuni, Hashem saved me. No, this is, I am now victorious over everyone. I created this empire. Akel Mazreni Chayel, God gives me with strength, retain Tamib Darchi, and makes my ways Tamim, the same sense that I am Tamim, I am trying to be as perfect, so God makes my way perfect, unimpeded. Asher Raglai Chayelot, makes my legs like and I yell, goats, Abba Mate Yamdeni stands me on the high places. Lamed Yadayil Melchama. Hashem teaches my hands to wage war. Nachta Kesha Nechusha Zerotai, and guides my arms like an iron bow. Titanli Magen Yeshecha gives me the shield of your salvation, saves me. Yiminchat Sadeni, your right hand supports me. And in your humility, you make me great. I'm great because you allowed me to do this. Tachiv tzadi tachteni, you broaden my steps under me. Lo ma'ado karsulai, and my feet don't slip. Edofai vai vasigeim, I can chase my enemies and overcome them. Lo ashuv akolatam, I won't return from battle until I destroy them. Then it's ironic here, because Paro, which you quoted him, says the same thing. He says here, I'll chase my enemies and I will overcome them, where Paro's quoted, Amarayev Adov Asiga Chalei Shalom. Paro says the same thing. The difference, of course, is the fact that David attributes that to Hashem. That's not his own power. He's Amachatzim. I will destroy them. They will not get up. They fall before my feet. God You are the one who gave me strength through the war. It's not me. You allow me this. You bring those who stand against me beneath me. Ivai Natatali, you're giving me my enemy. Ivai Natatali Oref, my enemies turned their backs to me. And I cut off my enemies. Yishavu Be'Mashiach, they crawl out, there's none to save them. Hashem V'yanem, they could call to God, but no, you don't answer. Ashachtem Kafar Pnei Ruach, I scatter them like dust before in the wind. Etit Chutzot, like the mud, literally outdoors. Arikem, I empty them out. Right, that I can destroy my enemies. That's great. But it's because of Hashem's help, and that leads to. I love this quote from Joseph Heller's God Knows, which is it's a comic novel about David. It's very funny. The way he puts it, I was proud as a peacock, where I'd taken a kingdom the size of Vermont and created an empire as large as the state of Maine. The sense of how big this sort of empire was. It doesn't sound that large, but going from the original size of Israel to conquering Aram, Edom, Moab, Ammon, all that. And that's where you celebrate. You saved me from the enemies of my people. To see many of the Rosh Goyim, you made me the leader of nations. Amri Adati Yodeni, nations that I did, who never even heard of me, now serve me. They listen to my words. And strangers are dependent on me. The alien nations are confused. Yechagu Miskarotam. They come trembling, and even when they are miskarot, in their hiding places. Who's afraid of me? And that's the climax of the parak. Now it ends with a summary. Chai Hashem Baruch Hu. As God lives, my rock is blessed. Yerun Melechai Yishi, and God who saves me is elevated. God who gives me vengeance, and leads other nations beneath me, saves me from my enemies, allows me to rise over those who rise against me, and from individuals of violence, you've saved me. On all that, therefore I will thank you among the nations in public. I will sing your to your name. Midot Yisroel Malko, or Tilim is Magdil. You know that difference. We say that in invention. We go between Magdil and Midot. Two versions of that. God is a tower of salvation to his king. It's a chesed, Mishicho, David Zaro does kindness to his anointed David and his descendants, Adalam forever. And we quote that last pasuk, but we say it in Birkat Hamazon, and we know we say Magdil on weekdays and Migdol on Shabbat. Magdil is the version that's in Tehillim, Migdol is the version that's in Shmuel. And it's not clear why we switch these pasuk around. So, Baruch Epstein, Torah Tamima, gives an answer which, at least to me, was well known. I don't know if you've heard that. Aminah Gavflena. Our minhag is to say in Birkat Hamazon, Lashon HaPasuk, Magdil Yishur Malkahu. Amrim Bachol Magdil, and on weekdays we say Magdil, Shabbat Migdol. V'chei Mitzien B'Sidurim, that's what the Sidurim all say, B'Shabbat you say Migdol. V'Nusak HaBirkat Hamazon, Hava Nusak Mitehil. And so the general, what we say is the positive in Tehillim, Magdil. Because he's saying the real version of this is what's in Tehillim. That's the one we've just looked at, even though there are different, it's a different version in Shmuel. Ben Yeta Kobes Tehillot David, because that's where all the Tehillim are put together. So he assumes that one of the original scribes copying down this siddur, matkima tesidur, b'tiba jad, and he's writing this in a manuscript, quotes in the galad the first before printing was invented, or malim shel siddur, or the person who owned this particular manuscript of the siddur, Rasham Begilian Kazeh, the shin bet migdol. Meaning, he said in Shmuel Bet, that's what he said, not Shabbat, but Shmuel Bet, it says Migdol, even though it's the Hillman's Magdil. As a side note, that's his hypothesis. So then the next scribe writing this down sees this note that Shin Bet, standing for Shmuel Bet, says Migdol, Mila B'Shin Bet, Migdol, Purtona B'Shabbat. They thought maybe that means Shabbos. Well, March, but Shabbat means Migdol. Luchashav Rabbeinu didn't think about it too much. Tabas Yidra Tekal Yado. So then, when he's copying this again, Mufrash B'Shabbat Migdol. That's why he thinks that we switch it around because it's a mistake. It really says Tilim is Magdil, Shmuel Bet is Migdol, and that get read as Shabbat Migdol. And then that was one was copied to the next manuscript, Mishnah Shishit, etc. And then from the manuscript to print, and we're going to end up today where we say Migdol and Shabbos. That's his thought. Hold the Muvar. I'm sure you understand that there's really no difference between the two languages. But you can say Magdil or Migdol. Don't worry too much about it. You can do it either way. The fact that we differentiate, that's a mistake. Have you heard that before?
No, that's the first time I heard that.
Okay, so yeah, Baruch Hashem is a Torah. He's a Torah Tamima. He's the son of Yechiel Michal Epstein, the Aruch HaShulchan. I mean, he's got some halachic status here. Nusach Mazon, Barambam, Nusach Bestama, Migdol. And the Rambam, in fact, says just Migdol, doesn't say anything about it. And everyone likes this. When you hear it, you like this answer because you feel very superior to all the primitive people who couldn't read their notes correctly. The problem with this hypothesis is that's probably wrong. The reason why it's wrong is that we have to know what the idea that originally it said Shmuel Bet says Migdol, and I won't read this all out there, but the calling that part of Shmuel Bet, like 2 Samuel, is a relatively new idea.
I was going to say, we didn't have Shmuel Bet.
Right, it was just Sefer Shmuel. And the first time that was used was in the 1300s, but really, the only time we started using Prakim and the names of the Sparim and Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Bet, Melachim Aleph, all of that, when Daniel Bomberg invented the printing Mikra Gedolah. That was in 1518. Okay? So he started...
I missed like the last sentence he said because it faded out a little.
Sorry. Daniel Bomberg was a Christian printer.
Okay.
In the 1500s, right after printing press was invented. I love him because he decided, you know how to get money from the Jews? You don't have to kill them, take their stuff. You can sell them books. So he started publishing. He invented the Mikra Gedolot.
Interesting.
Yeah, evidently he had a friend who was a monk. He was a Dutch. He comes to Italy with some money his father gave him, said, here, go start a business. And his friend, the monk, says, you know what you could do? Everyone's doing this whole printing press thing. It's like a dot-com boom at that point. But the monk was said that the Jews love books. You got to start printing books for the Jews. So he finds himself a Jewish editor, develops this idea of the Mikra Gedolot, where you have a Chumash in one place and all these commentaries around there. And he wasn't the first to do the Gemara, though, the form we have with Rashi and Tosfot. He was the first to have a complete set of Gemaras. But his editor said that he wanted to have people be able to refer to it. So he decided to use the Christian system of names of books and chapter numbers and verses, which the Jews never had before. So he published it then. That's what we use ever since. The bottom line is calling it Shmuel Bet didn't come until the 16th century. And that's relevant because the Avudraham, who's a Rishon, wrote a commentary on the Siddur well before the 16th century, writes on Pirkei Mazon the following. Kibaltim Rabbatai. I have a tradition from my teachers. Kibba Shabbat Lomar Migdol. Yeshua, Bavav. On Shabbos, we say Migdol. Bechol Magdil. Biyud. Okay, on Shabbos, we say Migdol from Shmuel Bet. And on weekdays, we say Magdil from Tehillim. And this is before anyone called it Shmuel Bet. So, however elegant the Torah Tamima's hypothesis about it being a scribal error, it's clearly not the Avudraham's reason. But he says, nearly a time. It seems to me the reason. Mipnei Shabbat Shabbat hu melech gadol kenegan achol, that Shabbos is a greater king, whatever that means. So I think what he means is that Magdil is a present tense verb. It's an ongoing process. Hashem is making his salvation great. Magdil Yeshua Malka. But Shabbat is the Me'elon Haba. We have a sense of things are finished. It's a Migdol, it's already done. In the same sense, we have Sefer Tehillim uses a sense of Magdil, and that Tehillim we read not so much in terms of the history of David, but as Tefillah that we have today, that this is an ongoing process. Hashem is still Magdil Yeshua Malko, that's talking about Bnei Israel. But in Sefer Shmuel is the summary of David's life. That's Migdol, is a tower, done. So that we are here reading the Shira, and we're saying, okay, how does that apply to our own lives? Hashem, we thank Hashem for this continuing salvation. He's magdil us, and we go, you know, look back at this Mount Torah, make the right choices, and then we too can fight battles without fighting battles. And then the way the Barbanel ends this, to say that David describes himself in these three terms, three different stages here. The name of Pasuk Azeh. Shemar Malko Mashiach David. He's a Mashiach, he's a Melech, he's David. You know, it's late. My idea here is that David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, that David here ra'a etzmo b'shalosh madrigot, saw himself in three different ways, three levels. Achat b'yato Melech Yisrael. One, when he's king. He's ruling over everything. He's in charge. B'shanit kodem zeh b'yato Mashuach al yad Shmuel. The point when he was anointed by Shmuel, before he became king. That wasn't a good time because he was on the run from Shaul. But before he became actually king, he's running from Shaul until the day that Shaul dies. There's a point when he was in trouble. He had saw the potential, but he was constantly on the run, in danger of his life. The third level, before he was even anointed, David. He was just little David. Ben Yishai, son of Yishai, Roed Son, he's a shepherd. That's it. Ramash Bechol Shlotas Maniam Ha'ela. All three of these times, I saw Kelly Barachim Mol Hafi, Hashem did miracles for him. He's going to thank Hashem for that. But we see Hashem in all phases. The Melech Yisrael, whether we consider ourselves, everything's great. I still have to thank God when you're just in despair. That was near Daf, running from Shmuel in danger of his life. You still have to thank Hashem. And kind of all the boring times in between. It's okay. They go on one day after another. Still, that's when you're David Yishai Ruat Son, just watching the sheep. They're all in this position to declare Shiv Divrei Shira Zot. And that's what Shirat David means. What David means for us as well.
Wow. Shkoach.
I will conclude here. And we'll continue on next. And hopefully I'll have something to say for next time, but that is the end of Shirat David.
Wow. So Dan